Hi, this is Jeff Curto, and welcome to episode number 108 of Camera Position, the podcast about the creative side of photography. This episode of Camera Position continues our multi-part conversation with the great photo consultant, marketing expert about photography, Mary Virginia Swanson. And in this particular part of the conversation, we talk about the importance of craft in photography and photographer's technique. And we also segue into a conversation about books and limited edition folios. So here we are joining that conversation with Mary Virginia Swanson.
Craft has always been a part of our toolkit.
That's right.
We kind of have to have, it's sort of like learning a language. And photography is like learning a language, so we have to know enough vocabulary to be able to say what we want to say with it.
Well, I also think that the gatekeepers, certainly in the gallery world or corporate art consultants, people that are selling your final output have to know that the craft is impeccable time after time after time after time. You know, they have to sell your consistency of craft as a part of your value as a collectible artist and your strength as a visionary. And when you come to a review event and you sit down with a dealer, whether it's, you know, Brian Clamp or Yancey Richardson or Yossi Milo or now Darius Himes, they are in the business of selling the final output. So you can show someone in passing your work on an iPad. It's fantastic to show your website, for example. But I don't learn much at all about the prints. And if that's your final, if the wall is your final goal, it's going to be a miss. And that's part of why in my lecture last night I stressed the essential, what's the word I use? Visualization of your final presentation on the website. How do you show what someone would be buying, what they would be representing, how this would look on their walls on a two-dimensional website? Well, you have to take a three-dimensional photograph of it.
I think one of my favorite slides in your talk last night was the woman who had created like a sort of a mantelpiece vignette.
Yes, with the framed picture.
Framed picture,
clearly
couple of
at
other,
home.
Couple of other objets on the on the mantelpiece to
base of flowers.
Give the viewer of the website a sense that this is something that could be used in the home as decor.
Yes,
That's an interesting word. I've heard some people talk about decor being sort of an evil word, I think. If I had an Edward Weston picture, would I hang it on the wall in my house? Hell yes, I would.
Absolutely.
Would I hang the Marion Pulse Wolcott that's in my kitchen my kitchen? Yes, it's a picture of a woman in a kitchen.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I put it in my kitchen? And is it decor in my kitchen? Absolutely. But I think we have to recognize that if what we want is to be on the walls, the wall can be whatever wall it is.
Well, certainly, and there are many people looking to place artwork on walls for all different kinds of purposes. And when Keith Davis was the curator at the Hallmark collection, meaning the Hallmark card company's corporate collection, my understanding was that he wore two hats, that his obligation was to build a corporate collection that would not only be an asset for the corporation, i.e. building a very prominent American corporate collection that would have long-term value to the company, but also to fill the walls of their actual office spaces with the artwork that they owned. So he had two different hats to fill. It's not to say that all corporate art consultants don't have that to some degree, but many corporations own such masterworks now. They may not have been of such value when they acquired them years before, but now time passes, fewer pieces in the market, they have a different and greater value. But other corporations buy art literally to fill the walls, and then they're done. If that's their goal, they can achieve it rather quickly. They don't have to store art that's not on the wall at the moment. They don't have to have a staff that's there to be mindful of conservation needs as artwork ages or conditions change. And it makes life much simpler. Typically, when corporations renovate rather than build from the ground up, they'll look to fill the walls. And when they're filled, they're done with their art buy. Others, again, see it as the artwork that they own as an asset to the corporation. And they'll work with an interior designer or a corporate art consultant, as they say, from the ground up, so that they know which walls will have art, and the lighting is designed for those walls to be safe, yet enhancing the viewing experience.
Let's get back to books for a minute. You talked about books a few minutes ago, and you have this this new book, mm-hmm. Along with co-author Darius Himes. Mm-hmm. Publish your photography book.
Yes, it was the name of our column.
About a year old now?
It's about a year old this month, exactly.
Tell me a little bit about the book. One of the assertions that I love right at the very beginning of the book is that you and Darius together mm-hmm. Say that we're in this golden era, golden age of mm-hmm. the photography book. And sort of as a photographer who came up in photography in the late 1970s and early 1980s, I kind of think of that period of time, the mid-70s to the early 80s, as being what I would think of as the golden age of the photo book in some ways. Why is now the golden age?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much more is possible in terms of bringing your work to print. The artist book movement has taught a lot of us that had previously worked in only within the confines of traditional publishing, the possibilities of art on paper being bound, being stitched together, being unfolded, being presented in all different ways. On the other end of the spectrum, the machine printing capabilities are fantastic. We look today at several volumes that were produced with MagCloud, the HP Indigo Press upload system that's very, very affordable and fantastic.
They're incredibly affordable. I had no idea how inexpensive those things were, and really great reproduction quality.
Yeah, absolutely. Good quality for the money. So we have all things blending together, from handmade papers to output on digital presses. And that's exciting to me, that your work can be presented in whatever fashion you choose, whether it's the rarity, the handmade, or it's the machine made, or I'm starting to see more and more examples of what I call that sort of, it's a hybrid. It's like custom print on demand, where you'll take a MagCloud piece, not unlike the ones we saw today, and perhaps wrap a sheet of vellum around it, or add a letterpress cover, or hand tear the edges, or tip prints in, or take signatures apart and reverse, or whatever you wish to do, however you wish to alter it. The basic printing, as you say, is so affordable that start with that and customize that and make it your own in some way. So that's really exciting to me too.
Is a folio kind of a presentation? You know, I'm thinking about, one of the oldest ones that I can think of is Paul Caponigro's The Voice of the Print. You know, that little folio, you know. You unfold it, and inside are multiple sheets of
individual prints.
And I know that Brooks Jensen produces these folios mm-hmm. For a number of photographers. He's done one for me, and mm-hmm. You know, a beautiful little package filled with individual pieces of image with a colophon and a mm-hmm. title sheet and some sort of statement about the work. Is that a book?
Oh, that's a good question. I I think it could be called a books. I think classic bookmakers would say things must be bound, that a loose leaf encasement would not count.
It must be bound so that it will always be as such.
So that, yes, and by the as such, I mean so that the sequence that was the choice of the artist is preserved, yes. I mean, you could always put a list of plates at the back or suggested sequence or something like that. It's more like a portfolio. You know, in the late 70s when we had galleries cropping up for photography, we had a market for contemporary photography for really the first time to that extent, gigantic leap forward. Portfolios came on the market. Silver Sea, California Views, things where there'd be 20 artists, one print each, or 10 artists, one print each, and boxed in these beautiful encasements, which we now think of as the kinds of things for limited edition books to live in. And the NEA had a matching grant program for encouraging purchasing of contemporary photography. So the portfolio came to life in a big way, and that's where we saw the frontispiece typically be letterpress, a list of plates within, and the prints, so that it could be an exhibition in a box. I think for myself, I thought of them more as an exhibition in a box than I thought of them as a book.
That's another interesting thing, because you mentioned something that was unbelievably popular as a sort of, you know, a photographer would produce a portfolio, and that portfolio might be a beautifully produced box. Mm-hmm. They might make 20 of them or 10 of them or mm-hmm. 50 of them, 50 copies of, you know, if they made 50 of them, there were 20 pictures. You had to make that same picture 50 times in this portfolio box. That seems to have kind of gone away. Where did it go and why?
It does. It's interesting. I think
limited edition portfolios
are not as common to me as the limited edition book, and my guess is it's partly price point. When you commit to having a portfolio produced, you're in for some money, you're in for some expense. Without one strong dealer or several dealers helping to sell those, if you don't know your audience and can get your work in front of them, you'll be sitting on a fairly steep investment. You know, even when we think about editions of prints, people don't tend to produce the whole edition of prints. We never really have. Even when our choices of paper were perhaps even more so when our choices of paper were limited. We didn't think of them necessarily as limited. There was always a box of Portrait to Rapid available. And
somewhere.
Then one day there wasn't. Yeah. And then there wasn't. We're like, how did that happen? Why didn't I make that whole run?
We'll pick up our conversation with Mary Virginia Swanson in the next episode of Camera Position.
I think it's a fantastically interesting time for public art because there are so many different fabrication processes that photography can be adapted into. It's amazing to me what can be done in public art that we wouldn't have thought of 5 years ago, or weren't capable, I should say, of doing 5 years ago.